This message was recorded live on Sunday morning, July 6th, the last day of our annual 2008 Prophetic Miracle Camp Meeting by Pastor Evans.
Sometimes if we're not teachable, we might as well go home because we're not going to receive the blessings. We're not going to receive anything God has for us. Glory to God. Where are we? I mean, just where are we? I want you to think about that as I share some things with you this morning. And when I get down here, I'm going to be talking about a white horse, but not the white horse that Brother Johnson talked about. Brother Johnson talked about the beautiful white horse with our Savior and us on white horses when we're coming back here to earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a time.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to talk about another white horse before he comes.
Yes.
What are the signs to the church that many miss, that many aren't really aware of? And maybe by looking at them, we can find out just where we are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, I've heard this gospel message ever since I was little. And they've always been saying, Jesus is coming. Well, when Paul was preaching, when Peter was preaching, when John was preaching, they were saying that Jesus could come at any moment. For 2,000 years, they've been thinking this. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Because if we didn't think, and a lot of people aren't thinking about that, we wouldn't be making ourselves ready. Brother Johnson also preached that he's only coming back, according to the Bible, to those that are looking for his coming.
Amen, brother.
I preached that in our church. It's exciting. I'm looking. I'm not ready to go before he comes, but I'm ready to go if he was to come today. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, there's a lot of things we could say there, but I want to key in just on this verse here. Let's know also that in the last days, when? Are we living in them?
Yes.
Perilous times shall come. We can't pray them away.
That's right.
We can't stop them.
Amen.
These are end time signs for people. Not necessarily the church, but for the world.
That's right.
They need to see these signs. And not the manifestations that some churches are giving now with the gold dust, the angel feathers. How many know angels don't have feathers? I'm studying it. Cherubims, yes. Angels, no. Or a woman angel. If you can find it in the Bible, come to me and I'll give you $1 million. How about that? I'm pretty sure, huh? And yet today, the false churches talk to you about their woman angel. New Age talks to you about the woman angel. The Kingdom Now theology talks to you about the woman angel. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Perilous times. Are we seeing perilous times?
Amen.
Never in the history of the world, if you check it out, are they seeing things like they're seeing today. Last year, they said we had the most earthquakes ever in the history of the Weather Bureau.
That's right.
We've already passed that this year. Last year, they said we've had more tornadoes than any time ever in history. Guess what? We passed it this year. Glory.
5 more months ago.
Yeah, 5 months ago. I mean, there are signs out there.
That's right.
Gas is sky high and it's not going to go down right away. Food prices are up. Perilous times. We're just looking at the perilous times. Then in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, it says, knowing this first. When?
First, in the
beginning. Well, then we should know this verse first before we start talking about the end times.
There you go.
Isn't that out of Matthew? I love Matthew. It's over here in Peter. It says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers,
right,
walking after their own
lust.
scoffers mean mockers, and yet they preach the gospel.
That's right, they do.
They like to knock things after their own lust.
Amen, preach it.
They want to put the church down after their own lust. Wow, we're seeing that.
Yes, we are.
We definitely are, even more so than ever. Somebody was sharing with me this morning that Obama said as soon as he becomes president, he's going to go back to his Muslim religion. The one he don't have, you know. The one he's never had.
The one he doesn't have now either, right?
And I always ask this question when they talk about him. See, I pray and try to find out what's going on. I said, now, he was overseas, right? Went to a Muslim school, right?
Yeah.
They were very poor, right?
No.
I said, how come they moved here to America, to Chicago, not grandma's house, right to Chicago, into a very well neighborhood, into a very expensive house,
yeah.
And Avers instantly took him under his arm. But he said, oh, that was just a guy I met in my neighborhood. He put him through school. He put him through college. He got him in politics.
Right.
One of our top terrorists living in this country. Amazing.
Communist.
Nobody ever raised as much money in a primary, a presidential election, as he did. Where did it come from? They say a third of it come from the Muslims.
That's right.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. Seek the Lord, and you shall live. Lest be broken out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench the fire in Bethel. Well, let's get scriptural. What is Bethel? That's right, the house of God. Isn't that amazing? The Lord said, if you don't seek me, you know, a fire is going to break out, a false fire, and there's not going to be anybody in the house of God that can put it out.
Right.
In other words, we're not going to stop it.
Amen.
I mean, we may be all right, but that false church is going to rise. The Antichrist will become the head of it.
That's right.
Glory. Then verse 7 says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. What is wormwood? Basically, it's a bug that thus sets damage to the wood. The wood's absolutely no good. It couldn't sustain anything. It would fall apart. Why? Because they left off righteousness in the earth.
Right.
We don't stand for righteousness like we should.
Amen.
I mean, things have gone wild in the world. In some churches. Yeah? The Lord told us before Canada started, it was going to start. Tell our people, warn everybody, don't go there. Stay away. It's false fire. We told them about Florida. Don't go there. And over there to that place that plays the music in Missouri. Benson?
Branson.
And then down here to Lakewood now. And some youth groups and some pastors, they're flooding there. And his mission from the devil is to transfer to everyone else by the laying on of hands what he has.
My.
He's not laying his hands on me.
Neither.
And yet laying on of hands is scriptural. But the devil always takes things that are scriptural, and he makes a counterfeit out of them that looks good, sounds good, but if you really look with your spiritual eyes and they're open, you realize this is not God.
That's right.
This is not God. You know, the worst thing, and my brother would verify that the worst thing we had in Korea, and he was in Nam, and they had the same thing in Nam, when they give us South Korean soldiers to fight with us, or they give you the Viet Cong to fight with you over there, you never turned your back on them. Never.
That's right.
Because you didn't know whether they were the enemy or the good guy. They'd kill you just as quick as anything else. We never turned our back on them. They didn't like us. We may be there helping them and fighting, but they didn't like us.
That's right.
They still don't like us. Why? Because we represent Jesus Christ. Basically, that's what America used to represent, Jesus Christ. So we see all these things. But basically, where are we? You see, I didn't know if I was going to get down to this. Glory. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 through 8, we read these words. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, let's get some things straight, biblically. Who opened the book?
Jesus.
He's the Lamb, isn't he?
Yes.
Then he wasn't here on earth like they're trying to tell you. He opened the book. He was there when this word was given to John. He was not here. He opened the book. Now, notice this. Today, we're seeing events. And I believe we're seeing the horsemen.
Right.
So if we're seeing the horsemen, what have we already seen that we may not have recognized that could possibly tell us where we are? You see, he never said we wouldn't know the seasons. He never said we wouldn't know the month. As a matter of fact, he really wanted to narrow it down. He didn't even say we wouldn't know the week.
That's right, brother.
He only said we wouldn't know the day nor the hour.
That's right. Preach it.
But he's going to show the church many things that we will know that he's coming.
That's right.
The white horse. There's many different opinions on the white horse. Some say it's Jesus Christ, and some say it's the Antichrist. So we have to look at the white horse and study it a little bit to find out glory. Now, if you remember what the white horse had.
A bow.
A war bow. What did Brother Johnson say, or was it Brother Paul, somebody about the war? Now the Holy Ghost that fights it. Oh, these preachers, they are not helping me. How come? But anyway, the things that he's got on, when we look at it, he's not a peaceful person. Matter of fact, the Greek word that we find is called stephanos. Stephanos, which is a victory crown. Now, it sounds good, don't it? Victory crown. But such as might be given to a victorious athlete or a general, but not a king.
Interesting.
Now, the word that they would give to a king, a royal crown, is diadem.
Right. That's right.
The second horse rider wears a diadem.
Hallelujah.
He is the Lord.
Amen.
So we realize right away that this white horse talks about an Antichrist, a false religion, and we can look back right around 1992. We begin to see the falling away like never before in the church. I mean, this is one of the smallest crowds we've ever had on a Sunday morning. The falling away. Some people were here during the week. Where are they? Oh, they'll tell you they're on fire for God. Where are you then?
That's right.
Don't the Bible say, Roger reminded me that, you'll know them by their fruits?
Right.
Well, if we're not seeing something, that tells me they may think in their mind, because the devil's got them deceived, that I'm on fire, I'm going with everything that I... Where, honey? Oh, yeah, we could go to the ball game today. That's a good idea. I'm on... What? Picnic next Sunday? Drive up there 50 miles away? Well, I should be teaching Sunday school. Yeah, we can do that. Where is the fire? If you're not burning very bright, it's not compelling. It says, in the last days, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some do. I'm not going to be one of those some. I want to be there. So we're seeing the white horse. Well, how about the red horse? Now, the rider of the red horse is generally held to represent war. The red color of the horse represents the spilled blood on the battlefield. Yeah, the great sword, the killings, the fightings. Wow. Are we seeing any of those?
All over the world.
We've got over 60,000. Did you get that? Over 60,000 disabled vets that are coming back from Iran. I mean, how sad. Not counting the ones that got killed.
Iraq,
right. No, yeah, Iraq. Excuse me. You're right. Over 60,000, they say. How many do we have from Desert Storm? How many do we have from Vietnam? When is enough enough? Well, Jesus is saying it's about enough.
Yes, he is.
It's about enough. We loved our country. We gave our life for our country.
Amen.
And afterwards, we might have found out we're being deceived. But still, we fought for our country because we loved it.
That's right, brother.
But now, I think we're seeing the red horse more than ever. How about Afghanistan? We got two wars going on. And our leader wants to shake his fist at Iran and maybe start a third one.
Right.
We don't have enough troops here left to protect America except for us. And so that means our president can take that law that he passed in and bring the United Nation troops into America to keep us safe.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And yet they say 90% of the United Nation troops are Muslims.
That's right.
Oh, boy. I think we're seeing the red horse. Now, it doesn't mean the white horse won't continue. It doesn't mean the red horse won't continue. But we can clearly see we've got to those two horses. There's only four horses. The third horse is called famine. It's riders holding a scale. Now, just a little while ago, in our newspaper and on the news and national television, people were turning in gold for what? Food and gas. Wait a minute. The black horse hasn't come yet. Well, why are they turning in gold already for food and gas? You know, sometimes we don't see the things that are happening.
That's right.
And where's the drought? Worldwide. Where's the famine? Worldwide. David said when they come here from Arkansas up here, they went through the grain belt of America, and corn wasn't 6 inches high. That's supposed to be knee-high by the 4th of July. And some fields had nothing.
That's right.
Famine is here.
It is.
God's not talking to the church that you're going to have to go through these struggles. We're going to get to that. But he's showing us what the world's going to look like, and we're seeing it. A measure of wheat for a penny. Oh, glory. Milk, $5 a gallon. Gasoline, they say by next week will be $5 a gallon.
Amen.
Bread, my wife went and got the buns and stuff for the camp meeting. She was shocked. I guarantee you can't buy it for a penny.
That's right.
We're seeing some signs. It looks like the white horse, it looks like the red horse, it looks like the black horse are already here.
That's right, yeah, sure does.
How about the pale horse now? Man, that doesn't sound like good news, but wait a minute, I'll get there. The fourth horse on the pale or sickly horse, which may be the source of nutrition or of pestilence or of death, because he carries like a big knife. The Greek word interpreted pale in the New Testament is green. Now, there's an interesting one for you. I hadn't thought about that until as God was getting me prepared for this. What are we in right now? Green! Green!
Isn't
it amazing? And there's all kinds of sicknesses. And people are dying. Could this possibly be the pale horse?
Could
we possibly be that far?
Could be.
It kind of looks that way, huh? Now, Isaiah 2:2. Get ready. Because you see, the Lord says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh in the last days.
That's right.
It's going to be 3 times greater than anything we've had yet.
Right.
And so Isaiah says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it.
Hallelujah.
No valley experiences. They never have been of God. We thought they were. He said his true house is going to be established on top of the mountain, above all the hills or valleys, and all nations shall flow into it.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. Now we're getting away from things we have to hear and know, but we're getting to what God says about the last time for the church. It's not a bad hour for us. It's a good hour for us.
That's right.
It's an exciting hour. We're the generation that's going to see Jesus come back.
Amen.
We're the generation that's going to learn how to walk by faith.
Right.
How to live above the circumstances. I found the scripture verse in the 20th century Bible once. I still love it. And Paul says there, I've learned to live above the circumstances. I just love that. I've learned to live above the circumstances. He says, nothing on earth will separate me from God.
Yeah.
And he goes into a whole list. And if you think you've had troubles, try going through everything that he went through. Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass. Remember Isaiah now. That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Just a hair different. It said the nations. Here it says the people. The true church. Oh, hallelujah. I love that thought. I love that idea, because we're going to be a victorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
The miracles, the signs, the wonders are going to flow in so great. Not that we're looking for the signs, because if you're looking for the signs, you ain't going to get them.
Right.
If you're moved by feelings, you're not going to get them. Now, if you're unsaved and a sinner, you'll get them, because he'll bring you in. But we're Christians. We're supposed to be walking by faith. We're supposed to be believing what the Lord said. We're supposed to be living by faith.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for the day, my wife knows, because we talk about it many times. When we sat down at our table without a drop of food found any place in the house, you could tear the walls apart and everything else to find out where we got that food from, but you'll see our plates full.
Amen.
You'll see my car running up and down the road.
Amen, brother.
But the blessings are falling. The abundance is falling.
Right.
Not on the world, not on the false church. Not like some of them are preaching out there.
That's right.
Now, we're not chasing after the prosperity message. God said that if our soul prospers, we'll prosper. Even as your soul prospers. That means you got to get in the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. You got to meditate on the Word. You got to get so close to God, He talks to you. We're living in the last days.
Yes.
He's going to equip us
yes.
to be victorious in these days.
Right.
We're not defeated.
Right.
And God said this morning, those who would like to go eat can, but He said, I'm going to do some things for them. Things that haven't been done. Not because we didn't have people here that could do it. We had to beg you one night to get you up front. God said, bring your suitcases. I want to fill them up with everything you have need of. You see, we're so used to just taking the crumbs off the table. I want to preach that sermon. When God speaks to us, do we love Him so much that we'll do anything that He tells us? There's some here right now. Three. And don't come up unless you're going to receive. Because if you come up and stand here, and I'm being very nice and gentle, and don't do anything, the devil has sent you up here because the faith will stop out there. Three back problems here this morning. Three back problems. I say, Lord, I take my... But there's three of you out there that God wants to heal your back problems right now. Glory. There's two high blood pressures out there right now that God wants to heal you. There's two with heart problems that you know you have heart problems. And you're on medication, and you're trying to get victory over there. God has a new heart for you this morning. Now, there's quite a few, and I don't see anybody here yet. And my stomach says I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat pretty quick. Sorry. Oh, we don't have to lay hands on them. We found that out. Glory. I mean, you couldn't have caught that one anyways, could you? My wife, you have to stand behind her and get ready to throw your arms around her, grabbing a bear hug, because she goes down like that. Who else? And then there, of course, is the person with the migraine headaches. You're not having one right now, by the way. But you have them fairly regular. There's some under out here so under the pressure. One the Lord has shown me has done a lot of weeping and crying. Even thought about leaving. But because of her love for her mate and her kids, they haven't done it. But they sure thought about it. God wants to minister to you today, too. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody.
God wants to minister to you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal two marriages. Big time. That they've really become a marriage. Love flowing. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody here with a bad hip. I mean, you should be up here. You know you got them. Or you could go home, same way you come. And God would say, I really loved you, and I wanted to do that for you. Glory. I have people come to me after many services and say that was me, but I didn't dare come up. We had a lady healed a few years ago right back there that I begged and I pleaded with, and I told her every symptom she had. I said, I know who you are because God showed me. And finally she got up and made her way up here with cancer. And she was instantly healed. A few weeks later, she'd come into one of our morning services because she had to come back and tell us that God had healed her. She's got a restaurant down there in New Richford. No cancer today. Her daughter come and got healed of diabetes. And we got two diabetics out here. I mean, God wouldn't tell me these things if they weren't there. I'm only going to wait a few more minutes. Then I'm going to go eat. This plate, yes.
I would encourage everybody to go while the anointing is there. It isn't always there.
That's right.
Always just out right at the moment. I was in a big hurry to leave here last night, and God said we'd have a double portion. I didn't go up front, and I regretted it. I had problems last night thinking about it.
Sorry.
Don't go home saying, gee, I wish I'd went up front. God's called out
many right.
Things you don't actually, nobody in here is going to know which one is.
And you don't have to be embarrassed. What he said is so true. If Brother Paul hadn't reminded you last night of the double portion, I think he's about ready to quit and say, bag it. And then he comes. Look, I'm coming then. I'm not going to come back and lay hands on you unless you ask me to. The Holy Ghost will. We definitely need catchers, though. Glory. Where's Randy? Oh. Glory. Hallelujah. We used to so enjoy laying hands on them, watch them go. And, you know, sometimes I'd get them to stand them back up again and lay hands on them. So they'd go again, and God said, are you doing showmanship now? He said, am I not able to put them down under my power? I said, yes, Lord. And if I put them down under my power, who are you to get them up just that you can lay hands on them and knock them down again? That was it. I will lay hands on you if you ask. I mean, I heard God. And I thought, you're right, God. It was fun. Get them back up. Let me put hands. You ever do that, Brother? It was fun.
I don't do it anymore.
Anybody else? I'll stay as long as you want me to. Like Brother Johnson said, if he steps on the carpet, it's done. But if I step out from behind this pulpit, it's done.
There you go. That's the word of the Lord.
I mean, you've got ministers sitting right up here in the front row, three of them. You got one back there. We're praying. We know God's going to meet your needs. My brother, I haven't asked him, but he ate bacon this morning. I saw him. Where is he? Oh, there he is. How you feeling?
Okay.
He couldn't eat nothing. Ask him. He couldn't eat nothing. He said, I come up there. He said, that brother put his hand right where it was. Gone. Miracle. A miracle.
Hallelujah.
A miracle.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He ate bacon. His wife said to me, what are you having for breakfast? I said, I'm having sausage gravy. Oh, my husband loves that, but he can't eat that. I said, really? She said, oh, no. The grease, make him sick. He said, what are you having the next day? I said, we're having pancakes. She couldn't eat those kind of pancakes. And so I asked Carol, I said, what's the difference between
your pancakes, sour cream milk pancakes, and buttermilk pancakes. She said the acid. I said, oh, I bet you could eat them now.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Sure and scabby.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's that? Wiggle good. Stretch good. Bend over, touch your toes. Well, that's close enough.
Amen.
We've seen two people with steel rods in their back bend over and touch their toes. At first they said, I can't do that. I got steel rods in my back. And the word come to them, bend over and touch your toes. They could lay their palms flat. They've got their miracle. The one guy went to his insurance company because he was on disability from the railroad, told his doctor he was healed, showed his doctor what he could do. The doctor said, I don't care what you can do. This here report says you're 100% disabled. And he said, what's that mean? He said, you're going to get your checks. He said, fine. He said, I told you I'm healed. And he walked out of there. He's still getting his checks as far as I know. He's trying to tell him, hey, save your money. I'll go to work. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, I know about that ingrown toenail. I don't, but the Lord does. So if you want to get that healed, it's time. It's not me. I haven't got none. Is that you? Glory. No? I know she has some problems with her toes, but I didn't think she had an ingrown toenail. Somebody's got one. Not you. Okay. Glory. Who's got that ingrown toenail? It's going to bother you like mad when you leave this tent unless you get it healed. It may not be bothering you now. I'm not trying to speak a curse on you, but the devil will make sure it acts up. Glory. I want to pray for your daughter. That was God. I wasn't even thinking about that. Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. What awesome services in the big tent we have had. I could use your support to get messages like these out to counter the false in these last days. Please pray about what God would have you do. Then write Signs, spelled SIGNS, P.O. Box 122, Lyle, spelled LISLE, New York, abbreviated NY, zip code 13797, USA. And may God bless you. Maranatha, my friends.